agree. It's probably not the most aesthetic thing to make parking lots on a riverfront piece of property. So everybody passing down a river in a boat, what are they looking at? They're looking at a parking lot? Come on now. I mean, this is, you're trying to establish a great downtown area, okay? A first-class downtown area. And you're gonna put people dining in the rear of this property, looking at a beautiful river, and everyone loves this river, and it's a beautiful river, and they'll look at a bunch of car bumpers? So let's be practical, let's be real, okay? This is trying to create a good atmosphere for your residents, for visitors, and we found it's not appropriate to put the parking in the back of this building, and we gave you those reasons. But what did we do? We went out and we bought parking, okay?
In conjunction with your adding, asking for...
Yes, yeah, certainly.
Well, that's exactly what I was just gonna say.
You probably don't agree with me, and I'm not gonna stand here and argue with you. But you asked me for the reasons, and I've given you those reasons.
But he bought 29 parking spaces and is asking for 53.
Maybe it's better addressed to Mr. Janu, who's the planner, is whether or not the rear portion of the property is, you know, would it be reasonable to utilize it for parking?
Strictly for employees.
Again, this is a resort community, and your master plan holds the central business district and the concept of this being a resort community very near and dear in terms of the principles for redeveloping this area. And I didn't testify on the original application, but I would agree that this is a special location in terms of it being waterfront. And to the extent that you're creating an outdoor dining experience, an outdoor waiting experience, I don't think you want to have issues with employees parking there, coming in and out during shift changes, or in fact interrupting the vista of the river, which is an attraction to this property as a resort type of facility and something that is a destination at a resort facility. I think, quite frankly, using this for parking is aesthetically not pleasing. And one of the principles here...
Wouldn't it also eliminate the objectors that we have here because of the activity that's created in the backyard that creates a nuisance for hundreds of people?
I don't know that. I don't know if they'd object to parking.
Maybe the people at Rumson don't want to look at a parking lot either from across the river, you know?
They're further away.
Yeah, I would say this is a very unique property. And one of the principles behind these types of variances is creating a desirable visual environment. I think it'd be a shame to interrupt the vista of the river with parking after we saw what the property looked like previously with those bungalows and parking there. I think what Mr. Bonfiglio is proposing is very attractive, very desirable, will create an enhanced destination location here. And the fact that he is providing 29 spaces, and went to the incredible, not only effort and expense of requiring this parking, but making this so that it's exclusive to Tommy's in perpetuity, I think addresses the concern with respect to parking. Mr. Jarre entered his opinion in terms of the sufficiency and the ability of this parking lot to be able to handle the additional traffic and the like and put in the justifications for the parking. So I'd have to say, as I don't agree that the back is appropriate for parking, because this isn't that type of community. This isn't that type of development. That's not what your master plan seeks. That's not what all the rhetoric in terms of redevelopment of the central business district speaks to. Yes, parking is a problem. We're attempting to address it with a property immediately adjacent to it without interrupting, if you will, those wonderful views of the river and the circulation of patrons being able to go up to the riverfront and enjoy that vista. But going back to the variance related to the former gas station lot, we have to talk about particular suitability. And it is my opinion that that lot is particularly suited to provide parking for Tommy's because of its adjacency, because of the intensity that it formerly operated at, and for the fact that parking, if this were a commercial parking operation, would be permitted. We're seeking to restrict that to be exclusive to Tommy's. So I do think it's particularly suited. I do think, with respect to the Medici criteria, it's something that can be reconciled in terms of your master plan and your ordinance, because parking is envisioned here in a commercial aspect. We're actually restricting it to one establishment as opposed to a beach lot for pay or something like that. I think it can be reconciled. I think it's an appropriate use, and I think the addition of the 29 spaces here should be welcome. With respect to the bulk variances. As you know, there are C variances come in kind of two varieties. There's the hardship variance and the, what's known as the flexible C, or the one where we look at where the benefits outweigh the detriments. That's the C2 criteria. Everything here would qualify under the C2 criteria. Under the C2 criteria, we have to talk about that the application relates to a unique situation on a specific piece of property. The purposes of the municipal land use would be advanced by the deviation, and that the benefits of the deviation outweigh any detriments. Let's talk about the front yard setback. We talked about the development pattern along Ocean Avenue in the Central Business District, and in this area in particular, and the fact that Tommy's is set back further than many of the businesses here. The intrusion is in the northeast corner. It's for a small area. It's approximately 18 inches greater than what it is today. It doesn't interrupt the operation of the patio. It doesn't interrupt the view of the building. It doesn't interrupt pedestrian access. I certainly think it can be granted with respect to any concerns relative to creating any nuisances or detriments. The zone plan does seek here to require to promote development of a restaurant type use. It's a permitted use. We're seeking outdoor dining. We're also seeking the space upstairs in order to enhance off-season utilization of the property. That's consistent with the zone plan as well. So that little bump out is quite frankly so insignificant in terms of the front.
Just to clarify, you're not saying that the upstairs is only going to be used in the off-season?
No, I think the testimony was that it's envisioned that it'll be primarily used in the off season because it would tax employees too much during peak season. Because Mr. Montego is intending not to add staff for that.
You're saying that it will be used year round.
Oh yes. But we envision the primary utilization of that will be off season use. With respect to the side yard setback, again that's a function of these two lots being held in separate ownership. If these lots were merged, that side yard setback wouldn't be an issue. That would be, the side yard actually would be here along Old Brunson Road. It's a form over function type of thing. It's not going to impact the operation of the property. In fact, it's going to create the appropriate ingress and safe egress from the second floor. It'll also create the trash enclosure, which will be relocated for the back. And I want to talk about that trash enclosure a little bit and the purposes for the reconfiguration, relocation of that trash enclosure. So currently, it is located here along the southerly property line and requires access through the back of the property. The idea here is to put it in an area that's significantly easier access through the proposed parking lot on Lot 5. Vehicle will be able to drive in, circulate out. The trash enclosure as part of the building will also be, as you heard testimony, state-of-the-art trash enclosure. Odor controls will be put in. It'll be enclosed. It'll be conditioned if necessary. There'll be floor drains for permitted washdown. It'll be entirely enclosed, and it will not have any issues associated with visual impact, odor impact. It will be essentially seamed into the part of the building where it'll be accessed easily from the building, will be relatively invisible, and will be much easier accessed by the truck coming in to pick up the circulation. It prevents additional large truck traffic or commercial traffic going into the rear of the yard. I think it's a significant improvement in terms of the operation of the property, and as Mr. Bonfiglio has operated Tommy's now for 2 years, that is why this proposal here is before you on multiple levels. It is to improve the operation of the property, and this is a significant benefit to the operation of the property. I also think it's a significant benefit to the neighborhood in terms of having it fully enclosed and odor control and conditioning and washdown areas, as opposed to traditional dumpster pad with a fence surrounding or an enclosure around it like the public has odor controls.
Combined side yard.
Yeah, so the combined side yard again is an impact. The side yard variance to the south was granted with the previous application. That's not changing. Going back to the reason for the side yard to the essentially what's the center of the lot between 4 and 5, that's a function of those lots being held in separate ownership. It's not impacting the operation of the property. It's something that it's basically a side yard setback from a contiguous property owned by the same group held holding title separately. So there is no detriment and no negative impact in terms of that, and if these lots were to merge, it wouldn't be essentially a situation within the center of the lot. Still would require the combined side yard setback because of the pre-existing condition to the south, but it's not something that's a detriment or something that would impede the property or create any type of nuisance.
In terms of the signage?
Probably the signage is intended to be placed on this wall here for visibility. Again, traffic coming down, Tommy's has its primary sign on the face facing Ocean Avenue, traffic coming in from the north coming south. It's just an easier way to identify. You're going to be coming down, crossing over where the bridge will be eventually placed. It's for the safety, it's for identification, it's for the location, and it'll associate Tommy's with that parking lot. I think in terms of access and traffic safety and circulation, it's an improvement, and it's not something that, it's a very tasteful sign. I think you've seen the sign with the gooseneck lighting that's proposed with it. It'll be attractive, and it's certainly consistent with the concept and the appearance of Thomas.
You think it's also consistent with the fact that the parking lot is located on the north side?
Exactly, it'll face that parking lot.
Of the restaurant.
And we'll identify that.
Identify for patrons coming.
Exactly right.
We don't have any on-site loading areas. Our loading is all done off-site as it is today.
That's correct.
That's not being modified.
No, it's going to continue to operate the way it is today. Mr. Montiglio spoke about that in his testimony. It's adequate today, and it'll remain adequate.
As far as off-street parking buffer areas, obviously the parking lot has been designed in coordination and in concert with the municipality, municipal engineer as part of the streetscape.
Correct. It'll integrate the streetscape, it'll integrate the lighting, it'll integrate planters, it'll be an attractive parking lot. And quite frankly, it's been redesigned several occasions. I think we've gone through variations of this parking from 27 to 25. We're now at 29 with this latest configuration based on our feedback from the county. I think it's appropriate. I think we're maximizing that parking lot in terms of what it can provide. And I think it's going to be a welcome addition to the building.
Okay. So in terms of promotion of the purposes of the municipal land use law, in terms of the variances requested here, and also the fact as the use variance site being particularly suitable for this particular type of use.
So the again, in terms of particular suitability, the site's already improved with Tommy's Tavern. It's a popular, well-run restaurant. It'll be enhanced, if you will, with the parking to that lot adjacent to it is particularly suited because of its proximity to Tommy's, its adjacency to Tommy's, its ability to provide parking exclusive for Tommy's, and the fact that it's already a large paved lot. We're going to improve the overall coverage in terms of eliminating some of that excess of 96% coverage. So it's not taking, if you will, a virgin piece of property and creating parking where it has an ultimate type of use. This is something that functioned as a convenience store and a gas station, which I think was significantly more of a nuisance to the neighborhood than what this parking would be. It's particularly suited because of the proximity and the desire to add parking to Tommy's. With respect to the impact on the neighbors, we typically look at all the nuisance issues in terms of noise, trash, drainage, traffic, parking, and the like. And I think throughout all the testimony that you've heard in this case, all those have been addressed. Trash will be handled very responsibly. The noise will be handled responsibly. The back of the property will be shut down at the appropriate time in order to avoid the 10 o'clock was what was mentioned in terms of allowing people to the back. We're adding parking here to alleviate any concerns in terms of additional seating related to the top floor. It's going to be an improvement over what was operationally there previous with the gas station, the convenience store, in terms of things like you're not going to have fuel smells, you're not going to have fuel deliveries going to this property. That I see as a significant improvement. And then finally, with your master plan and ordinance, this is recognized as a resort area. Your master plan and re-examination does talk about revitalizing and redeveloping this area and talks about this being a resort type of community where these type of uses are welcome. I think the relief that's being sought here is very modest in order to promote that type of redevelopment, that type of reinvestment to the property. It's a destination, it's a catalyst for the area. And hopefully Seabright will continue to see more of these. I think it's seeing more now, and hopefully it'll see more of this type of revitalization and resurgence post-Sandy to create what's a great short community.
So you do see the purposes of the municipal land use being advanced in several areas.
The location's appropriate. The restaurant use is permitted. This is a commercial zone, this is part of the central business district in terms of what was defined early on in your master plan. It's part of that resort fabric that was identified back in the 80s, and it carried through in the latest reexamination report. So in terms of any harm to your zone plan, there isn't. This is what's envisioned for this area. This is typical of a shore community.
And when you look on balance, when you balance the benefits versus the detriments in terms of the granting of the use variance, is there any other conditions the board could reasonably impose on the parking lot to mitigate any issues that you would see would be problematic?
It could dictate when lighting is turned off, if you will.
I was going to bring that up because I have two notations on this. This north, although I could have written south, I can't tell. Is there just a north side sign?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So the north side sign, does that have a goose light?
Yes, it does.
Goose neck lighting?
Yes,
okay.
It does.
And that's going to be turned off at 10?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe Mr. Bonfiglio agreed to that early on in the testimony when a neighbor from
Yeah, well, I had two separate times. First meeting, it was a different time, and then I think they got it. So I just wanted to make sure I was right, and I was had the same sign in mind.
And LED fixtures are proposed for the parking lot. They can be directed very accurately. You don't anticipate any glare or bleed from the lighting. Apparently that can be shut off as Tommy's closes. No need for that to be on, unless someone has a sense that there should be some security lighting.
So in terms of both the use variance and the bulk C variances, you don't see a substantial impairment of the zoning ordinance?
No, quite frankly, given the former operation of the property where you had bungalows in close proximity to the Nautilus, you had a gas station and convenience store in close proximity to the Nautilus, you know, you have one now successful restaurant use, it's permitted, and everything here that's proposed is intended to improve the operation of the property and improve the vitality and prosperity of the property without any kind of significant impedance on the neighborhood.
And in essence, but for the fact of a subdivision owned by the same owners, this would be an accessory parking lot, which is a permitted use?
The use variance would be eliminated. The side setback variance would be submitted, would be eliminated. We would still have the combined side yard setback variance.
So that obviously is a factor in your coming to
that opinion. That's correct.
Do you have anything else to add? Nothing further.
Board members have any questions?
I just one question. You had said that this 29 space parking lots can be for exclusive use of Tommy's patrons?
Yes.
So what would happen if someone from the public were to park there?
I think the answer would be, what happens to anybody who parks on private property when they're not supposed to park on private property?
Well, it's just, with that being said,
separate to us, it's universal. I mean, it's private property.
I'm assuming there's going to be some signage.
Yeah, there's no signage. There's no signs on your plan.
There was a sign at our entrance, but I believe when Mark, want to answer that question? We did have a sign. We had our entrance in the middle.
Yeah, but I don't see that.
Yes.
So you'll add signage that says parking for Tommy's only?
That wasn't the point of why I brought it up, and I don't know if they need to put signs up. But Tommy's relies heavily, even on with this parking lot, on public parking, on the fact that the public can't park there. This spot is inherently unfair. I'm not saying there's going to be a change.
Well, we don't necessarily have.
But you know, even with this, they're still going to rely heavily on public parking. It's just, you know,
Steve, it's sort of like anywhere else. I mean, people go in private lots and they park. You know, they're going to guard. That's all. I guess.
Yeah.
We're not envisioning having to do anything different than anybody else. That's the answer. So if someone goes in there and parks and they're not going to Tommy's, I guess so be it.
It would only be fair as many of the public spaces are being taken up by Tommy's residents. Yeah. That's my point.
Yeah, well,
it would only be fair.
You make a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't think I'm giving you a strenuous argument against your point. As far as science,
I look at it the opposite.
Well, it's a basic.
I actually do too.
Yeah.
If I just spent all that money on a lot, and when I'm open, I want my customers in that lot.
Yeah. You put a guard out there then. It's up to a management issue how he wants to handle it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I said a basic tenet of law is what's fair for one is fair for the other. You're taking up the public spaces, let the public park in your spaces.
I think Mr. Schwartz and yourself say use discretion.
I mean, that's the bottom line. The operator uses this much. If an issue is being abused, typically they step in. If it's not being abused, it's time to leave.
Any other questions from the board?
The lights that you're putting in are consistent with the lights from the town, from the streetscape.
The streetscape lights, yes, we use your fixtures.
And those are the only lights, the ones in the front on the street?
Parking lot.
Are there other lights in the parking lot or?
There is light in the parking lot.
Yeah, there is.
Yes, sir.
There's several stanchions.
Where would that be?
It's not on that sheet.
It's going to be on the original.
Yeah, sheet four.
Sheet four of the original plan.
Okay, I don't have that.
Page four of that.
Oh, with the landscaping?
There's a photometric plan that was submitted as part of the application.
Okay, I don't understand this.
There are two fixtures along the western portion of the lot in addition to the ones in the eastern portion of the lot.
Okay, that's the little squares?
Yes.
And what are those looking like?
Are those the same fixtures? That's the one in the front?
Yeah, I have it on here. They're LED lights.
They're the same as the streetscape lighting?
Well, the streetscape is different than the parking lot.
I know, that's what you're saying.
Yes.
So it's different.
You're talking about the fixture now.
Right, what is the fixture going to look like?
That's a simple LED goose head.
Okay.
16 feet high. And that's intended to be able to control the lights.
Into the lot.
Yes, and that's LED because that can be focused, that can be essentially fine-tuned to what it lights.
David?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, one comment on the lighting is that.
Martin.
The engineer should superimpose the streetscaping plan on his new plan in terms of lighting, and the old lighting on the plan, and see whether or not he can actually eliminate a light. Because it might be that the streetscaping lights will help out the parking lot too. So it should be looked at in conjunction with both foot candle contours on the same map. And it might be that.
I think assuming the appropriate illumination can be achieved.
Right, right. So that would be something that might help the situation. Rather than it being too bright, we could maybe do something to change the light, make it still to code, but not as bright for the people either walking by or living nearby.
I'm looking at the streetscape plan and I don't think they did a photometric analysis.
But you can get that stuff online.
Yeah, because T&amp;M has that, and that's their plan.
Sorry to see that.
Okay, so.
Board members have any other questions?
Yeah, I just want to say on that, that the engineer will superimpose the street lighting with the parking lot lighting, see if you can eliminate a light, any lighting in the parking lot to the satisfaction of the board engineer. Does that make sense?
Eliminate or lessen.
Eliminate or lessen.
And in answer to Mr. Schwartz's question, there is a proposed sign for Tommy's Parking situated right sort of mid-lot.
Now, I assume the streetscape lights consistent in the whole town will be on all night?
Whatever the town.
The town has the lights on all night.
Exactly, the town.
So then, what time, and the lights in the parking lot, though, go off earlier?
No, lights in the parking lot, I would need Tom.
Will it stay on all night?
No, I might think it will.
Not necessarily all night, no.
Okay, all right, but the street lights will be on all night?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the town government.
You were previously sworn, correct?
Yes.
Just from the standpoint of the parking lot lights themselves, your patrons, you close up at 2 a.m., so obviously you need lighting to that point.
Yes.
Okay.
There's the ability to dim those lights, I understand, Mark?
LEDs can be dimmed.
So if there's any spillover problem, we can adjust that.
Okay.
So the neighbors are not affected.
The lights I have in the front are on timers.
Right. And what time?
And I can put these on timers too.
Yeah, we can also put shields on those lights in the parking lot so there won't be any spillover to the back.
Okay.
So John?
Yeah, the gooseneck thing at 10:00, that just seems kind of irrelevant. I know one of the residents complained, but it's a 13-watt LED and they're 200 feet away. It's just, I don't think it seems fair to shut a sign off at 10:00 when they're open till 2:00, you know?
It's very dim, right?
Plus, there's going to be about 10 lights on the way to...
We'll let the board decide the issue.
It's not going to have any effect on anybody.
It's 180 feet away to the corner, so I mean, 13-watt.
The worst, yeah, the parking lot.
I think, Carrie, you might have had that as a condition previously noted, so...
Right. So if the board doesn't care about it, then that's, but you can discuss that if you want to eliminate that as...
We're not going to remember later.
Well, I'm going to read them all, so if you tell me you no longer want to require it, then I will eliminate that. That's why I asked that question, because I had several different times. I had originally 2:00 AM and then it changed to 10:00, so... If you want to go back to 2:00 AM, whatever the board tells us.
We don't think it really annoys the neighbor, we're trying to be accommodating the neighbor, that's all, I mean...
I don't think it's... Sign on a building.
2:00 AM, okay.
2:00 AM, that matters.
Watch lighting on the building.
It's a 60-watt bulb.
Right.
Okay, any other questions from the board? Let's open it to the public.
I have a question.
Please state.
Pam Ross, is it going to be closing? Because I know they said 10:00. Is it going to be closing 10:00 or 2:00 AM, like outside?
The rear yard will close at 10:00 PM.
And that's all, every night?
Yes.
Okay.
Just the rear, but the rest...
The rear yard.
Yes, just the rear, okay.
Will the doors on the rear still be open?
They talked about the rear being from that fence back.
Yes, let me...
Yeah, clarify that the patio is not closed.
The doors will still be open.
The patio will have a closure.
The patio part is open with the restaurant. It's from that fence at the end of the patio back that closes at 10:00.
Just past the electric fence.
Trying to find the right exhibit.
I think everybody has it, right?
Yeah. You're right, you understand?
Yeah.
Well, if everybody in the audience...
So we know the outdoor dining that exists today will continue, obviously. Beyond that, as you move a little bit to the west, there will be a series of gates and trellises and planters. Those gates will close at 10:00.
Right, and everything to the rear is closed?
Anything, right, from that gate going west to the river is closed.
Got it.
No activity. 10:00 PM.
Anyone else in the public with a question or testimony?
Yes. Good evening, Michael Lepari, with the law firm Cattello Barris. I represent the Nautilus, as you're all aware. Mr. Janu, you started your testimony by quoting language from this board, I believe, in the prior resolution, that when they were going for the initial application, they said the commies would be a benefit to the neighborhood, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, you're also aware, though, that there is also language in prior resolutions that prohibit outdoor entertainment?
I think it said if there was anything to occur out there, it would have to come before the board for approval.
Okay, so basically, there's no prior approval of outdoor entertainment?
That's why we're here tonight.
All right, and you're also aware of the prior language in prior resolutions that said that the second floor could not be used for anything other than office and storage, is that correct?
Without coming back to this board.
And you're also aware of prior language in the prior resolutions that say that the restriction, that restricts the trash to be located into the rear of the yard in order to prevent congregation and talking loudly in the rear yard, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. You mentioned also that this was a unique property because there was additional room in the rear of the yard, is that correct?
Well, it's a riverfront property, that's unique.
Would you also consider it to be unique because it has a side yard when all the other buildings in the downtown basically are on top of one another?
Where's the side yard? Which side are you referring to?
It currently exists on the south. There's currently, I guess, I'm not exactly sure the width of the side yard, but as it currently exists, there's enough for at least for a vehicle to drive in.
On the north?
That's the north.
Yes.
I don't know if that's enough for a vehicle there.
Well, they're currently getting the trash from the rear, so in order for the garbage trucks to get to the back, it has to be at least wide enough for the garbage truck to get back, correct?
I would anticipate.
Okay, so that would be a unique condition also, because many of the other buildings in downtown do not have the side yard.
Some do, some don't.
Okay.
There is separation amongst buildings, I can't tell you how many.
So you think, and you think it's proper planning for us to, for the board to allow them to remove the side yard in order to put trash enclosures?
Yeah, my opinion is based on the acquisition and the addition of Lot 5.
And that's because there, you claimed it was a functional equivalent to a single yard, or a single property?
What I was saying is if Lot 5 were merged, you would essentially have a side yard the width of Lot 5. If these lots were merged functionally, let me finish, if these lots were functionally merged, the side yard requirement would be here to the north. That's why I said if these were merged, it's functionally the equivalent. They're not being merged because of the desire to keep these in separate ownership, but functionally, it's the same situation because they're going to be controlled by the same parties, and there's going to be the exclusivity of use, and there's also the requirement that these properties transfer together. So they will always be adjoined.
So assuming you're...
So from a planning perspective, I disagree with your aspect. I think what we are creating is essentially a better situation.
Assuming for the sake of this discussion that that's the functional equivalent of a single yard, or a single property, are you aware of any other properties in Seabright that has an entire condominium having its exclusive egress through the middle of what you call a functional single yard or single property?
Haven't explored that.
But you're not aware of any?
I haven't been made aware of any.
Do you think it's, you indicated that there was, this plan to a good civic design furtherance of the municipal land use law, correct?
Correct.
It's good civic design to remove a side yard where two lots are combined.
Again, we look at the purpose for eliminating that side yard, and that is to add 29 parking spaces. It does not impede or impair the access of the Nautilus property. They still have their egress lane. It's still a functional egress for the Nautilus. And yes, I think the benefit of providing 29 spaces certainly is good civic design if it warrants a minor technical variance that wouldn't exist if the lots were merged.
You said it doesn't impede or impair the functional use of the Nautilus.
The Nautilus still has egress from their property.
How about when the egress is blocked in order for them to remove the trash from trash enclosures, which they can only do by being within the easement? That is impact on your opinion?
How long would that blockage be?
I'm asking. You said there was no impact or impediment to the Nautilus. So I'm saying you don't consider that.
Listen, quite frankly, in order to respond to that, I'd have to know how the Nautilus operates, because my understanding is their trash is located in this vicinity. So I don't know if egress is blocked when the Nautilus trash is picked up, because it's in close proximity.
Okay.
So, you know, trash... Listen, anytime there's a trash pickup, it impedes a parking spot, it impedes someone from being able to get in and out of a parking spot, but it's temporary, it's very short.
Is it good civic design to permit and encourage outdoor games and outdoor drinking of alcoholic beverages directly in front of a condominium residential building?
I don't see what encourages the consumption of outdoor consumption of alcohol the way you're talking about, but given that the master plan here recognizes this as a resort area, given that restaurants that serve alcohol are a permitted use on this lot, and given that the Nautilus is actually the exception to the zoning here, the Nautilus is the use here that's not compatible with the zone. The building here is consistent with the master plan objectives, is consistent with the ordinance, and certainly if you can create a waiting area to encourage a business that is sought after in this community, yes, that's good civic design.
The VR zone that you're referring to doesn't list any outdoor games or outdoor recreation as a permitted or accessory use within the zone, does it?
It let's take a look at it. Okay. Accessory uses are. So the ordinance defines accessory use as a use or building devoted exclusively to a use incidental and subordinate to the principal building or use of the lot. Structures, steps, decks, patios, or raised platforms attached to the building less than 18 inches in height may be considered accessory. This shall include all HVAC and pool equipment and supporting structures. And it said that the BR zone does not list any specific accessory uses, so we rely on the definition of anything that's incidental to the use. And what's being proposed here is clearly incidental and subordinate in that it is intended to support the restaurant use, intended to be exclusive for the patrons of the restaurant. You can't walk off the street and utilize that area. You're there because you're waiting for a table, you're waiting to utilize the restaurant. It is an accessory use.
It's, you're stating it as if it's accessory just because it happens to be on the premises.
Well, that's the definition of accessory.
So bocce ball use is incidental to a restaurant use? Bocce ball use is incidental to a restaurant?
Is a pinball use incidental to a bar?
To a bar, we're talking, that's a different example.
Yes, I believe that those type of uses are quite frankly incidental and accessory. If you recall, and I don't know if you recall, but years ago, the Tradewinds had a pool. Is a pool consistent with the use of a restaurant and bar?
Again, very different example.
No, not really.
No, no, because we don't know what the residents of Rob proved.
Maybe they got a variance. Let's not carry this, we got both your points. Let's move on, I'm sure you have more questions.
No, that's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jeter.
Mr. Gazarovski, welcome back.
Do you mean that?
Yes.
No.
Of course. We want to hear what everybody has to say.
I really don't have too many questions, I was listening.
You always say that.
Yeah.
An hour later, 2 hours later.
I didn't have any questions for Mr. Ritter.
No, no, you were quite good, as a matter of fact.
Thank you. Can I put that on my resume?
Yes.
Much of your testimony, I thought concerning parking, was geared to what you stated the applicant was somewhat munificently doing to benefit the situation. In other words, saying he spent a lot of money to acquire this property for a parking lot, correct?
I didn't say he spent a lot of money.
Maybe he was.
Marty did.
Maybe he was. Mr. McDaniel.
Marty's guilty.
I don't think I'm guilty of anything, quite frankly.
Okay, fine.
I wouldn't spend any money for a parking lot.
Let's go through these numbers if we can, following up the question posed by the board member. Right now, with regard to the existing Tommy's facility, there are 135 required parking spaces, correct?
Well, I disagree with saying they're required. The calculation would be for 135, however, there was a variance granted waiving the requirement.
Correct. That's what he was asking.
You granted a variance, but.
Yes.
Under the zoning in place at that time, there was a requirement for 135 parking spaces, correct?
Yes, the calculation would be 135.
And the applicant provided zero. So therefore, he got what you call a waiver or a variance for 135 parking spaces.
The applicant provided credible evidence.
Correct. That's correct.
Okay. Now, under the new application concerning the use of the second floor, that would require, under the zoning ordinance, 53 spaces, correct?
Additional 53, correct.
So if we had 135 and 53...
It's the second floor and the rear.
Right. 53, they're providing 29. Right. Total of 188 required, 29 provided.
That's not exclusive to the second floor.
Second floor, outback, whatever. But right now, under the plan being proposed, there is a requirement of 188 parking spaces.
Oh.
Okay. Now, under this application, you are providing 29 parking spaces, are you not?
Mr. Kessler, the math is 135 have a waiver through variance, 29 are being provided, and we're seeking a variance for 24.
I'm really trying to keep these questions simple.
It's correct. 188 is required, they're providing 29, but 135 was previously granted under their first application.
So if we have a total of 188, and we're now providing 29, that's a shortfall of 159 spaces, is it not?
Correct, 135 of which were previously granted. We already have that
right
down.
So what we're really doing is you are not ameliorating the parking variance requirement, but rather you are intensifying the situation, because now you have a 24 space shortfall. So rather than, as you exist, having a shortfall of 135, you now have a shortfall of 159. So explain to me how that in some way is something that benefits this municipality.
First of all, I'd like to say that Mr. Jarre presented extensive testimony.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
I'm asking
however,
you. You can't answer
stop.
The question.
Let him answer.
He's telling what Mr. Jarre is saying. I know what Mr. Jarre said. I want his answer. If he can't answer,
I rely on Mr. Jarre's testimony as a traffic professional who provided the testimony with respect to parking. I'm sorry you don't like that answer.
I listened to you wax eloquent about what a great guy this applicant was and how he's solving parking. But in fact, he is even intensifying the variance deficiency which he had in the first instance, isn't he?
This is summation.
It's a simple question. Is he or isn't he?
Ron, I think we've put on the record the numbers. You are correct. 188 overalls required, 29 provided, shortfall of a total of 159.
And he's increasing the shortfall from the first application.
The first application, 135 were granted. On this application, he needs 53, and he's only providing 29 of that 53.
So now he's up to a deficiency of 159,
we got
not 135.
Well,
got that?
But total, right. But on this application, because that's what this board has to look at, even though you are considering everything that's gone before you, on this application, they needed 53, they're given 29.
This board has
they're
to
minus 24.
This
and
board has to consider
correct, I've already told
the use
you
in its entirety.
Yes, okay. And I've already told you, 188 required, 29 provided, we've got the numbers.
Thank you.
The horse is dead.
Let's go if you can. As my understanding is, in listening to the testimony, reviewing the record, there's really two resolutions that impact the approvals for this property, are there not?
Which are you referring
to? I'm referring first to the approval, which is dated, I think it's March the 24th of 2015.
I see it.
Sure,
Pat. This is, yeah. No. I'm going to hold mine.
Fine. I'll hold it.
By the way, Mr. Kessler, is your client here?
I don't know whether he is or isn't. You think I need him?
Well, I don't know. Your client lives in Rumson, and he's so concerned, but he's never here.
First of all,
he's never at a meeting.
He was here at present meetings. I identified who I'm representing. I'm an interested
party. Is there a question to the... Is there a question pending?
The resolution dated March 24th, 2015, approving comments.
Right. That was the first resolution of approval, correct?
Yes.
Now, in that resolution, and my colleague touched on it briefly, but on page 2 and 3, I'd like to read to you in paragraph four, I'll read, says, "Tom Bonfiglio, a member of 1030 Partners LLC, testified on behalf of the applicant. He described the proposed restaurant to be similar to Tommy's Coal Fire Pizza Restaurant, which they currently operate in Red Bank. He discussed the renovations, confirmed that the second floor would be accessory storage and office use for the restaurant. The applicant confirmed that the only access to the second floor would be by way of a staircase from the interior building. The applicant stipulated that the building would be used for one use only, that of a restaurant on the first floor, with the second floor being used for the restaurant, dry clean, dry storage and restaurant use." Now, this was a specific stipulation which was entered into the record, was it not?
May I see that?
Sure.
I'm going to object to the former question. The resolution speaks for itself.
It does.
I don't know why
you
we
read the language. The applicant stipulated the building will be used for one use only. That's the stipulation.
Yeah,
is there a question to that?
And that's an accurate account of what occurred in 2015.
Right. So I don't know. Is there a question related
to
that?
Now, let me ask you this. With regard to that stipulation, that was also confirmed in the second resolution, was it not, in that even as to the second resolution of approval, the use was only for the restaurant on the bottom, no use for the second floor except for storage and offices?
Do you have the second resolution,
sure.
Mr. Gazarovski? And where?
Well, you want to read it.
I don't think that stipulation is in there, is it, Ron?
It's a confirmation, I believe.
Okay.
Well, he's not seeking any change from the first. In other words, when he came in the second time.
Oh, yeah. Still, I mean, I don't think the board re-stipulated because I don't think they asked for anything.
Right. Right. What they asked for, certain changes, that wasn't one of them.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
No, there's nothing as specific in this.
No, I mean, they didn't ask for a second floor to be used for anything else. Right.
So that condition of the first approval still stood.
Still stands
and,
today.
And that application was not for anything on the second
correct.
Floor.
That stipulation is still current.
Now, have you read the notice that was sent out to all of the property owners?
What, can you just give the date or whatever? I don't have it.
This is Wednesday, June 29th.
There's a new notice that went out.
This is not
notice. In
a
October.
Yeah, so this isn't the current.
You have a new notice for your
home? No, I don't.
You have it, Marty?
I probably do somewhere in my bag.
I mean, I've got it marked somewhere in here, but it's deep. But October.
Yeah, I would try to leave for an October date.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you make your point? So we.
Yeah, what's the question?
Know what's in it.
The question.
Yeah. Let's stop being around.
That notice was done in October.
Yeah, what's the question?
Okay, that's why I'm being rushed in this area.
No, just asking what the question is.
Now, having said that, would you consider this first stipulation and the first resolution limiting the use of the second floor, would you consider that significant? Is that a significant condition? Or significant?
As it related to that first approval, yes.
Okay. Now, are you aware of the provisions of the MLUL as well as case law, which states that when in fact you were coming back to a board for a change in a significant condition of an earlier approval, that you must give notice to the public that you're seeking that change?
I don't believe that was a condition of approval, Mr. Gazarovski.
Well, let's go a little further what it says. Whether it was a condition of approval or not, that's what the application was. And that's what you're seeking to change.
Well, no, your question is
can I just hold it? The October 11th notice says the second floor, part of including this, second floor of the restaurant will be converted to a dining area for private parties, accessory office space, storage, and restrooms. Fine. And there's a whole bunch of other things.
Does it say that in prior approvals, it was not approved for a dining room, and it was a specific stipulation that it could only be utilized for office and storage.
It says what it says.
It says what it says.
Correct.
Now, since it says what it says and it doesn't say that, in that notice, would the public be apprised of the fact that you were seeking relief from an earlier condition of the approval?
It wasn't a condition of approval, Mr. Gazarovski.
It says what it says.
It says what it says.
Let me ask you this. Since the time of the first approval, and since the time of the original parking variances which were granted, were there any change in circumstances in the surrounding area that would change, for example, the testimony with regard to the securing of those approvals, or is it still the same? As a matter of fact, it's being intensified because you're creating an even greater parking shortfall.
Mr. Gazarelli, that's why we're here tonight.
Okay.
And we've been here for a year and a half explaining our justifications for the relief sought.
What's your justification for increasing the parking density by an additional X number of spaces?
I'm assuming you were here when Mr. Jarre testified.
Yeah, I was. Tell me what the basis for that justification of increase was. You can't answer that question.
Adequate parking is available.
You said that you can't count the Chapel Hill lot. You said that the Manhattan was approved with no parking, other places without parking. Tell me where you can point to me where adequate parking is provided.
I think Mr. Jarre testified that there are in excess of 500 public parking spaces available.
Okay. Now,
and we are creating additional public parking on the street through the closure of curb cuts.
Okay. Now, on page 8 of that same resolution, it says...
Which resolution are you referring to?
The first resolution, which is in March, that's the only one we have before us right now.
Well, you gave me two.
But you asked to see the second one.
Yes.
I had you read the first
one. I just want to know which one you're referring to, Mr.
Gazarelli. March 24th, 2015. Now, what it also says is that there are specific conditions and stipulations. And it says very clearly on there, on page 9, 2, the building will be used for one use only, that of a restaurant on the first floor, with the second floor being used for a restaurant, dry storage, and restaurant office use only. So contrary to your earlier belief, that was a specific condition.
There's no dispute to that. There's absolutely no dispute or question that that's a condition of the original.
It says that we testified. Said it wasn't.
We said it says what it says. That I mean, it clear as bell here. That's what it says.
Clear as a bell. I agree.
Yeah. Building. That's why they're here, seeking relief from that condition.
Well, no, that's not really true. They're seeking to change condition.
They're seeking to,
and they haven't advertised with regard to that.
Well, they're seeking to use that second floor in a way that was not originally approved.
Correct. And in so seeking to use it, they're creating an even greater parking deficiency that was earlier granted.
Correct. That we put that on the record. The number of parking spaces. I think that's also been adequately discussed.
Are you waiting for an answer from him?
I'm just reading it.
I'm looking at the resolution.
Don't blame me for that.
No, I'm asking you a question.
Well, is there a question?
I'm waiting for an answer. He wants to read the resolution.
What's the question?
Read the question again? What is the question?
Do you guys remember that for that?
No, I don't.
I guess the question was, and I think quite frankly, Ms. Higgins sort of answered it, saying there's no doubt but that it was a specific condition stipulated to.
Absolutely. The condition of the original resolution.
And I think my question might have been, is that perhaps you misspoke when you said earlier, and I can understand that it wasn't conditional.
Well, no, you pointed me to language regarding Mr. Bonfiglio's stipulations. That was not the condition of the approval.
Is this a condition of the approval?
This is.
Okay.
Just for the record, there were 18 such conditions/stipulations. So.
Okay. Now, number 8 says that the applicant will provide outdoor dining limited to 104 total outdoor seats as shown on the plans. The outdoor dining areas will not extend beyond as shown on the plans. Now, in the testimony, as I heard from Mr. Bonfiglio, he is seeking to have in this area going to the west beyond the fence, he's seeking to have sofas of some sort, chairs and tables where people can eat food. That was specifically prohibited in that first resolution.
No, I don't actually, let me just stop because you can bring a drink back there, but there's no waiter service behind that area.
You can bring food back. You can carry it back there.
There was a stipulation and testimony that no one will be served food unless they have a seat. So you can't go to the bar, the board specifically had that concern. That you could go to the bar, get your wings or whatever, or your pizza, and bring it to the back, and that was a stipulation that they couldn't do that.
They could bring drinks back there.
Yes,
does that constitute dining?
No.
One. Well, I don't think so.
Now, Let's go on a little bit further.
I guess it depends on who you ask.
Define dining.
Every attorney in Lubbock, I have a martini, right? There will be no outdoor speakers, no outdoor music or entertainment. Now, the use of these bocce ball courts, as well as the other cornhole, whatever it may be, that's entertainment, is it not?
It's activity, yes.
It's entertainment, and it's prohibited under the terms of the first resolution.
And that's why we're here tonight, together.
Well, as a matter of fact, after that resolution was passed, Mr. Bonfiglio, contrary to the terms of that resolution, installed the bocce ball courts.
It's argumentative. Objection, Mr. Chairman, it's argumentative.
Now, so...
We've gone through this a zillion times.
No, we haven't.
He's moving on.
Humor me, okay?
You're moving on.
I will.
He's moving on.
Thank you. Now, once again, in paragraph 17, it says, "The rear outdoor seating area will be limited to an area measuring 20 by 40. But you were seeking in this area, beyond that fence, so to say, additional seating, are you not?
Mr. Gazarovski, this application is different than what was approved in 2015. That's why we're here.
Okay. Now, also, number 18 is really a reiteration of the fact of no entertainment. You then, after that, had a resolution which was passed, I believe in January of 2016, if you take a look at that, if you wish.
What do you got, Terry? I'd like to ask you a question.
Yes.
Is there a written definition between activity and entertainment?
There is not. Hence the problem.
There probably should be one, shouldn't there?
Yeah. Right, because his original, when he was here originally, he talked about having bands and everything back there, and the board's like, wait a minute, that's not on your plans. That's why it was in there, but...
That's my recollection.
Yeah.
And the board, we originally came in, we asked for live entertainment.
Right.
The board did not want to see live entertainment.
Right.
We eliminated live entertainment.
Nobody anticipated the other.
We didn't even put music back there.
Right.
So, you know, that's entertainment as we grasped it.
That is a question.
Yeah. I don't see entertainment and activity as the same thing, but we don't have a written...
Our ordinance does not define exactly what that is.
Now, in the January of 2016 resolution, this really came about because the applicant sought to secure certain changes as far as adding garden areas, relocate the trash, remove the requirement for bollards, such as that. He did not seek any relief with regard to the use of the second floor of the building, did he?
Not that I'm aware of.
He didn't seek any relief with regard to putting chairs or tables or couches in the area to the rear of the building, did he?
May I see that?
Sure.
The request was to add garden areas in the back, to relocate the trash area with access through lot 5.
But no seating areas or tables around.
Hang on, I'm just telling you what they asked for. Remove the requirement for bollards protecting that outdoor seating area, approve the removal of pavement and addition of gravel, add a walk-in refrigerator box, and they had already put in that they'd remove the bocce courts, etc. So
correct.
They did not seek, you know, what they have, what they're here for tonight was not what they were asking for then.
We saw 3 garden areas.
As a matter of fact, in that particular matter, the applicant testified that he had removed the bocce courts, which had been constructed in the rear but had not been approved. Now, of course, he's coming back for an approval of that, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Now, in paragraph 6, now I'll read it to you. Does not the board say there was much discussion by the board and objectors regarding the noise emanating from the open rear of the site? The place